B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Tzadik Tes, and we're going to start approximately a third from the way down, from the top of the Omud, Shtei Gezuz Torois, Chulei. So the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Omud Aleph. We learned in the Mishnah that the Chachomim say that if you have two protrusions of Roshus HaYochid on the same side of a Roshus HaRabim, and the Roshus HaRabim is in between these two, and you pass something from one of these Roshus HaYochids to another over Roshus HaRabim, then that is the case where the Chachomim say, Pturim, if you were Zayrek, if you threw it, but if you passed it, then you're going to be Chayev, if they're on the same side. And the reason is because that's the way that they did the Melacha in the Mishkan, and we've discussed this at length. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Mishum Reb Chia, Agolois, the carriages on which the beams, on the boards of the Mishkan were carried, tachten, underneath them, ubeinim, and between them, because we know there were two carriages that were traveling side by side, v'tziden, and on the side of each carriage, which is the area between the wall of the carriage and the wheels, and the area of the wheels itself, all those are considered Roshus HaRabim. They're considered a Roshus HaRabim, and this is something we discussed at length when we learned Daf Tzadik Ches. Omar Abaya. So Abaya is now going to discuss another few details. Bein agolo la'agolo kumloi oirech agolo. Between one carriage and the next, between the end of the wheels of one carriage, that means the end of the outside of the right-hand wheels of the left carriage, and the end of the left-hand wheels of the right-hand carriage, there was a gap of 5 amos in between them. And just to remember that, it's just a simon. There's no halachic value to this comparison. It's just a way of helping us remember it. The 5 amos is the same as the length of these wagons. There were 5 amos length of each agola, and there was 5 amos between them. Asks the Gemara Lomoli, why do you need the carriages to be 5 amos long? Bedalad upalga sagi. However you're going to put the beams, and we discussed them on Daf Tzadik Ches, whether you put them on the wider side down, and then you had 3 piles of 1.5 amos each, or whether you put them on the narrow side down, and then you had 4 piles of 1 amma each, either way, Dalad upalga sagi. 4.5 amos would have been enough to hold the beams. Why do you need to have 5 amos, says the Gemara. Because you cannot have the piles of these boards being too close to each other. It's not possible to pile the 12 boards and have them right next to each other. They will ruin each other. They won't be standing straight. You have to have a little bit of space in between them. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, Tzidei Agolo Kemeloi Roichav Agolo. On the sides of each, on the outer side of each of the wagons, was as an extra space as much as the width of the agola. How wide was the agola? The agola itself was 2.5 amos wide. The sides of each wagon, which is the area from the edge of the carriage till the edge of, to the outer edge of the wheels, on the two sides together, also made up 2.5 amos. There was 1.25 amos for the wheels on one side and 1.25 amos for the wheels on the other side. And the way to remember that is that the width of the carriage itself was 2.5 amos. Ask the Gemara of a Kamar Reichav Agolo, Shtai Amu Yisumechza. 2.5 amos was the width of the Agolo. Lomoli, why do I need the carriage to be that long? Ba'amsa upalga sagi, 1.5 amas would have been enough, because this carriage, you could have put something in. It's true that we lay the boards across the width of these carriages, as we saw in Daf Tzadik Ches. But the carriages themselves, the reason that they held their width was in order to be able to put some of the boards into the carriage. The widest part of the board is just 1.5 amas wide. Why do you need a carriage to be so wide? Says the Gemara, Ki heicha deloi lidadu kroshim. In order that the beams, let's remember, these boards, they were 10 amas wide, 10 amas long. And they took these 10 amma long boards and they sat them across the width of these carriages. It's bad enough the way it is that 2.5 amos is the width of these carriages, and you have so much more on each side. You have such a long board. But to have 1.5 amos, there's no way that these kroshim, that these boards are going to be balanced. They're going to topple, and therefore you need at least 2.5 amos on which the boards can rest. Says the Gemara, Elo de kaimelon derech roshus harabim shesh esrei amo. We know the halacha is, the conclusion is, that the width, the minimum width of a roshus harabim is 16 amos. Where's that learnt from? From these two carriages, the two carriages that were traveling side by side, and they took up a space of 16 amos. Asks the Gemara, Anan de gomrinon lo mi mishkan, we learn the width of Rosh Hashanah from the width of these carriages in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, 15 havoi, there were only 15 amos. As we've learned, the width of each carriage was 2.5 amos. The wheel space was another 2.5 amos, that's 5 amos. Two carriages, that's 10 amos. And the distance between the two carriages was another 5 amos, as we saw at the beginning of today's daf. So you have altogether 15 amos. Why does the Rosh Hashanah need to be 16 amos? Says the Gemara, Amsa yaseira havoi, dehavakoi ben Levi, dechimish dalfi kroshim, havinokit lehu. In order for one of the Levim to travel behind these carriages and keep an eye out that if one of the boards would start tilting into the airspace between the two carriages, he would quickly run to the side, either to the outer side, the right-hand side of the right-hand carriage, or the left-hand side of the left-hand carriage. He would quickly go, squeeze in there, the half an amma was enough for him, till he met that tilting beam, and he would straighten it out, level it out. And since this Levi needed half an amma on each side, then you need to have an amma altogether extra, plus the 15 ammas of the carriages themselves, and the space between them, so that leaves us with 16 ammas in total. Continues the next Mishnah. Chulias haboyer, the bank of a pit, and really we don't mean the bank, we mean the pit itself, and we're going to see about this in the Gemara. If a pit, a deep pit, is 10 tfochim deep and 4 tfochim wide, v'hasela, or a rock, which is 10 tfochim high and 4 tfochim deep and wide, shehen gvoyin asoro rochovin arbo, if somebody takes from a Rosh Hashanah and either takes from or puts on to this rock or into this boyer, mehen vanoisin al gabon, if you take from them or you put on top of them, chayev. He's chayev on Shabbos, because a rock which is 4x10 is considered a Rosh Hayochid, and a pit which is 4x10 is considered a Rosh Hayochid. Pochis mekein potur. If these areas, either of the pit or of the rock, are less than 10 tvachim high or less than 4 tvachim wide, it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, Lomo li lemisni chulya saboyer. Why do we have to speak about the bank of this pit, which is the wall that's surrounding the top of the pit? Now, it's true that typically the way this wall was made, when they were digging out the pit, they would take the earth from inside the pit and put it around the pit. It would serve as a wall. But what we actually want here is not the height of the wall, we want the depth of the pit. If we're talking about the height, we already mentioned the rock. So we're talking about the pit, so why mention the bank around the pit? Lomali lemisne chulyas haboyer vahasela. Listening would be enough just to say haboyer vahasela, the pit or the rock. Says the Gemara Masayeli Rabbi Yechanon, it's to bring proof to Rabbi Yechanon. Domer Rabbi Yechanon, boyer vachulyosom itstarfin laasora. What happens if you have a pit which is 5 tfachim deep, the wall, the bank around it is 5 tfachim high? Is the area inside this pit considered a Rosh Hashanah? Says Rabbi Yechanon, yes. We add up the height of the boyer plus the height of the wall, and they add up to 10 tfachim, that's enough. And the way the Mishnah tells us this is by saying, Chulyas haboyer, that this boyer, this pit of 10 tfachim deep, is even though the 10 tfachim include the bank of the pit. Tanin amihoch, we saw Brisa to this effect. Boyer b'shus harabim, amuko asoro rochov arbo, such a pit which is 10 tfachim deep, and four tefachim wide, ein memalin himeno b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to fill up from that. You're not allowed to draw water from there and drink it on Shabbos, because the edge, the area beyond the pit, was the Rishus HaRabim. The pit itself is the Rishus HaYochid. And if you're going to take up some water from the pit, you end up taking the water from the area of the pit out into the Rishus HaRabim where you're standing. And that is going to be a melacha on Shabbos. Elohim kein osu la mechitza gavoya asara tvachim, unless you surround the entire area with a wall of 10 tvachim, and then the entire enclosure is considered a Rishus HaYochid, and then you can draw water from the pit, which is itself a Rishus HaYochid, and bring it to where you're standing beyond the pit, which is also considered a Rishus HaYochid. Ve'ein shoysin heimeno b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink directly from this pit. Elohim kein hichnis lo roishoi v'rubai, unless your head and most of your body is hanging over the area of the pit, and then we're not worried you're going to take the cup of water and draw it back to the Rishus HaRabim. But if you're just your head is over it, that's not enough. You may, by mistake, take the water and draw it back into the Rishus HaRabim, and that will be a melacha. And the Braisa continues, Uboir v'chulyosa mitztarfim la'asara. If the boir itself is only five tvachim deep, but the bank around it is another five tvachim, that's also considered a Rishus HaRabim and has the same isurim mentioned in the Braisa. Continues the Gemara. And the Gemara is now going to ask a few questions regarding Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. Bo minei Rav Mordecha mirova. Rav Mordecha asked Rava, Amud Rishus HaRabim. If you have a pillar standing in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, Gavoya Asara, Varochav Dalad, it's 10 Tvachim high, it's 4 Tvachim wide, which means it has all the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. Vizorak, and this person was standing in Rishus HaRabim, and he threw an object from the Rishus HaRabim, Venoch Al Gabov, and it landed on top of the Rishus HaYochid. Mahu, what's the halacha? Has he transgressed the issa of carrying or not? What's the question? Why shouldn't he? Mi omrinon, do we say, Hari Akira be'isur? He did the Akira in Rishus HaRabim. It lifted it off the Rishus HaRabim. Hari hanocha be'isur, it landed in Rishus HaYochid. That's also asa. So what should be the problem? Oy dilma, no. Kiven de mimokim ptur ka'asya. Before it landed into the airspace above the Rishus HaYochid, and this Rishus HaYochid, we said, was exactly 10 tvachim high. And in order for something to land on the 10 tefachim high, before reaching the airspace, it has to have gone above 10 tefachim while still over the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim. And we know that Rishus HaRabim itself is only 10 tefachim high. So he lifted it off the Rishus HaRabim, it entered the Mokim Ptur, the airspace above 10 tefachim, and then landed in Rishus HaYochid. Since it had this little stage in between where it was not in Rishus HaYochid and not in Rishus HaRabim, loy, maybe I would have thought he's not chayev. And Tosfos discusses how this conforms with all the sugyas we've learned till now. And you can look in Tosfos. But this is the way the Gemara asks the question here. Omar le, so Rava answered to Rav Mordecha, Masnisenhi, it's an explicit Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? We saw in our Mishnah, on Omad Aleph, that if somebody takes some Rishus HaRabim and puts it onto a rock that's 10 tefachim high, then Hanoitel Mehen Vanoisen Al Gabon, Chayev, that's exactly the case we're talking about here. Also, Shaila le Rav Yosef. Rav Mordecha was not happy with Rava's answer. He went to ask Rav Yosef, Omar le Masnisen hi. Rav Yosef gave the same answer. It's a Mishnah. Also, Shaila le Abaya. Rav Mordecha wasn't happy, he went to ask Abaya. Omar le Masnisen hi. And Abaya also answered, it's a Mishnah. Omar Luhu, he said to the three of them, Rav Mordecha said also to Rava, also to Rav Yosef, and also to Abaya, Kulchu baroika de hadodi tfichu. You're all spitting the same spit. Omrule, they asked him, Va'atlo itizbara, do you not agree with us? Vatnan, we saw in our Mishnah, Hanoitel mehen v'noisen al gabon, chayev. If you either take off this Rishus HaYochid, which is 10 tefachim high, or you put onto the Rishus HaYochid, you're chayev. Omar Luhus, or Rav Mordecha answered to them, Dilma masnisin b'machat. No, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a needle. A needle doesn't have any height, and therefore you threw it, and it landed on top of the Rishus HaYochid, without having to enter the airspace, because it doesn't have any height over the Rishus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Machat nami efsha deloy midlei purta. Even a needle, it's got a little bit of height. It cannot land on a surface that's flush 10 tvachim without going up a little bit above 10 tvachim to be able to rest on it. Answers the Gemara, de islei murusha. We're talking about, the Mishnah could be talking about, where protruding from this Rishus HaRabim is a little protrusion, which is below the 10 tefachim, and because it's such an insignificant area, this protrusion, therefore if the needle rested on top of it, even though this protrusion, this murusha, is not in and of its own right 10 tefachim high, so it wouldn't be Rishus HaYachid, but since it's bottle, it's tuffle, it's part of a whole pile, a whole rock, or whatever it is, the omud, which is 10 tefachim high, it's considered, like Rashi says, it's considered like chayri Rishus HaYachid, it's like a protrusion or something which is inside the Rishus HaYachid, and therefore it has the same halachas as Rishus HaYachid, even though it's not exactly 10 tefachim high, and the needle could have rested on there. So don't bring me proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah could be talking about that the needle rested on Rishus HaYachid, even though it did not go above the 10 tefachim. Inami, or another example would be, deramya b'charitza, if there was a little crevice inside the rock mentioned in the Mishnah, and the needle entered from the side of the rock through this crevice and got to the top of the Rishus HaYachid that way, and therefore it's possible for the needle to have got to the top of the Rishus HaYachid without actually having to lift above the 10 tefachim while still over the Rishus HaRabim. Continues the Gemara. Another question. Omar Rav Meisha, boy Rav Yechanon. Rav Meisha said that Rav Yechanon asked the following question. Koisel b'Rishus HaRabim gavoya asara ve'enoi rochav arba'a. A wall in Rishus HaRabim, a wall in Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 tefachim high, but it's not 4 tefachim wide. Umukaf le'karmelis. And this wall surrounded a karmelis. A karmelis doesn't have a biblical status of a domain. It's called a mokim p'tur min ha-Torah, but midrabbanon you should not carry there. And they used this wall to surround a karmelis. Va'asoy Rishus HaYachid. This wall, in fact, turned the karmelis into a Rishus HaYachid. V'zorak v'noch al-gabov mahu. And somebody took an item and threw it from the Rishus HaRabim. It landed on top of this wall. The wall itself is not 4 tefachim wide. However, the area which is included by this in this wall has become a Rishus HaYachid. So do we say the top of the wall is considered a Rishus HaYachid or not? Mi omrinon, do we say kiven de'enoi rochav dalad mokim p'turhu? Since the wall itself is not 4 tefachim wide, then the object landed on a mokim p'tur, and the person will not be chayev. Oy dilma, kiven de'asoi Rishus HaYachid k'man d'mali adami. Since the wall itself surrounds an area which is then considered a Rishus HaYachid, if we consider the entire area as if being full, as if the floor of that area is elevated until the height of the wall, and then the height of the wall is, so to speak, flashed with a Rishus HaYachid, and it's considered wide enough. Omar Ullah says Kal V'Chomer. Of course it's considered a Rishus HaYachid, it's a Kal V'Chomer. La'achirim oisa mechitza, la'atzmai le'kol shken. If this wall can turn a karmelis into a Rishus HaYachid, of course it can be considered a Rishus HaYachid for itself. And therefore the top of it is considered a Rishus HaYachid. Itmer nami omar b'chia bar ashi omarav, v'chin omar b'yitzchok omar b'yoychanon, koisel b'rishus HaRabim gavoya asara, ve'enei rochav arba, umukuf lekarmelis, va'asoy Rishus HaYachid. And this wall turned the karmelis into Rishus HaYachid, exactly the case we're talking about. Hazoyrek, v'nochal gabov, chayev, is going to be chayev. Why? The logic we mentioned before is mentioned here explicitly. La'achirim oisa mechitza, la'atzmai le'kol shken. If this wall can make the area inside it a Rishus HaYachid, of course itself is considered a Rishus HaYachid. Continues the Gemara, another question. Boyer Rabbi Yochanan. And it's important that we remember that it's Rabbi Yochanan asking this question. Boyer Tisha. If you have a pit which is only 9 tefachim deep, it's not considered a Rishus HaYachid. V'okar mimeno chulya. You did an akira from within it. You were digging inside this pit. You dug out with your shovel an extra tefach. And even though before you dug, it was not Rishus HaYochid, but now, whilst digging, you're turning the boyer into Vishlimo La'asara, you're turning it into a depth of 10 Tfachim. Do we say that it's called you did an Akira from a boyer of 10 Tfachim deep, or do we say no? Since before you did the Akira, it was not 10 Tfachim deep, it's considered as if you didn't do an Akira from Rishus HaYochid. Mahu. Akiras chayfetz v'asiyas mechitza b'hadi adodi ka'osi u'mechayev. Do we say that since the akira of this earth and the making of the depth of 10 tefachim happened at the same time, so it is considered an akira and he'll be chayev? Oylei mechayev, or do we say no? Since before you did the melacha, it was not Rishus HaYochid, then he's not going to be chayev. If you're going to suggest that kibben de loy have a mechitza asara meikora, since before you did the akira, it was not considered Rishus HaYochid, loy mechayev, you're not going to be mechayev. What's going to be with the following case? Boyer asara, you had a pit that was 10 tefachim deep. V'nosan letoicha chulya umiato, you took some earth that was on the bank of the pit, some earth from the Rishus HaRabim, and you put it into this pit. Mau, what's the halacha? What happened here? Before you did the hanocha, the pit was definitely 10 tefachim deep, it was Rishus HaYochid. But whilst doing the hanocha, you've now flattened and added some earth to the bottom of the pit, and you've now made the pit into 9 tefachim high, 9 tefachim deep, and then it's not called Rishus HaYochid. So do we say that since before you did the malach, the hanocha, it was Rishus HaYochid Yochayev, or do we say no? Mau. Hanochas chayfetz v'siluk mechitza behadi adodi ka'osu, since putting down the earth and making the Rishus HaYochid become less than 9 tefachim, and now it's no longer Rishus HaYochid, happens at the same time, what's the halacha? Mechayev, oiloi mechayev. Is he going to be chayev for the hanocha, or is he not going to be chayev for the hanocha? Says the Gemara, Tifshet Leimididei. Who asked this question? Rabbi Yochanan. Let's look at something else Rabbi Yochanan said. Why can Rabbi Yochanan not bring proof from what something he himself held to this question? That none we learnt in the Mishnah. Hazoyreg arba amois bekoisel. If somebody throws something exactly 4 amos, which is the amount, if you throw something into a Rishus HaRabim, 4 amos yochayev. See, if you had exactly 4 amos, not a millimeter more, and you threw exactly 4 amos onto a wall, lemaylo me'asara tefachim, if it hit the wall above 10 tefachim, kazayrik ba'avir, as we know, the airspace above 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim is not considered the Rishus HaRabim. Lemato me'asara, if however it was below 10 tefachim off the ground, kazayrik ba'orat, as if you threw it on the ground, and there's no reason you shouldn't be chayev. Azayrik ba'orat, arba amis chayev. If you throw something on the ground of the Rishus HaRabim, 4 amos, you're chayev. V'avinon bo. And the Gemara, when discussing this Mishnah, we asked, v'hol lo yinoch, when you throw something exactly 4 amos onto a wall, and then it obviously bounces back, then it does the hanocha less than 4 amos from where you started. Why should you be chayev? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Yochanan himself that answered, b'dvei lo shmei no shanino. We're talking about a very sticky pressed fig, and it actually landed on the wall and stuck on the wall. V'amai, hokom amayit me'arba amos. We're talking about a case where it was exactly 4 amos. When this dvela sticks on the wall, the area now between when he started throwing and the edge, the outer edge of this dvela, is now less than 4 amos. It's true that before this dvela landed on the wall, there was 4 amos there, but once it landed, it was less than 4 amos. So it's the same question as we just said now here, that the hanocha is being done, but whilst the hanocha is being done, it's actually minimizing the measure you need in order to be chayev. So why did Rabbi Yochanan not compare the two cases? Says the Gemara, Hosam loy mevatele, hocha mevatele. In the case of the dvelo shmeina, this sticky cake of pressed figs, the pressed figs do not become an extension of the wall. Even after it's stuck onto the wall, it's something stuck onto the wall. It doesn't become part of the wall. So we don't consider it as having traveled or landed less than 4 amos. However, over here, where you're filling up a pit with earth, then the earth is there to stay. It's mevatel, it becomes part of the base, the floor of the pit, and therefore the question is in place. Continues the Gemara, another question. Boyer Rova, Zorak Duff. If somebody threw a shelf which was 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim large, v'noch al gabe yesedois, there were pins, there were, whatever these yesedois are, these pegs in the Rosh HaRabim, they themselves were not Rosh HaYochid, they were not wide enough. They were 10 tvachim high. And now somebody took a shelf, a board of 4x4, and landed it on top of these pegs. Mahu, is he chayev, is he not chayev? My komi boile, what's the question? Hanochas chayfetz v'asiyas mechitza behadi adodi k'osi. What's actually happened here? This shelf, in its own right, is just a shelf. And where did it land in Rosh HaYochid? It landed on some pegs, and the pegs are not Rosh HaYochid. So what we're going to say, that after the shelf lands on the pegs, and the shelf has a depth, a height, and we consider the whole area underneath the shelf as a Rosh HaYochid, but when does that happen? When does this shelf, when do we consider this shelf as being the top edge of a virtual Rosh HaYochid under this shelf? Only once it lands on these pegs, not before. So here again we have a case where something landed onto something that was not a Rosh HaYochid, but once it landed, it became Rosh HaYochid. Is that called Hanocha in Rosh HaYochid? Is it not? Asks the Gemara, Hainu de Rabbi Yechanon. This sounds like the second question of Rabbi Yechanon that we said before, that Hanocha was done at the same time as making something into Rosh HaYochid. Over there we were talking about the Hanocha was done at the same time that it became not a Rosh HaYochid. Over there, at least we were talking about a pit that was 10 tefachim before you did the Hanocha. Here, it was not a Rosh HaYochid before you did the Hanocha, but it became a Rosh HaYochid when you did the Hanocha. It's similar to the question before. Says the Gemara, Kiko mi boile Rava. Rava's question is not about the shelf. You're right, the shelf itself, it could be he's not chayev. As we said before, because when he started doing the Hanocha, it was not yet Rosh HaYochid, it's not considered Rosh HaYochid. What was his question? Kegoin de Zorak Daf v'chefetz al gabov. This shelf that he threw actually had another object on top of it. Mai, what's the halacha regarding the object on top? Do we say that's considered that it landed on Rosh HaYochid or not? Kiven de Behadi Adodi Ka'osu. Since as the shelf landed, that's when the shelf became Rosh HaYochid, and therefore the item on top of it maybe is not, and therefore it's Kahanochas Chayfetz V'asiyas Mechitza Domi. Do we say that since the two were done together, when it landed, that's when it became Rosh HaYochid, and he's going to be Potter? Oy Dilma, no. Kiven Dole Efsha Dole Midla Purta. It cannot be that this object on top of the shelf didn't bounce a little bit when the shelf landed. So, and then in that case, V'hodar Naich, after it bounced up, it landed, and that fraction of a second is when the shelf was already in position. It was already Rosh HaYochid. And then this object, consequent to you throwing the shelf with the object, bounced off the shelf and landed on the shelf. Now it's a Hanocha on Rosh HaYochid, whether Rosh HaYochid was there before it landed. Ka'asiyas mechitza v'hanochas chayfetz domi. It's compared to first making a mechitza and only then putting down the object. And it should be chayev, says the Gemara Teiku. We have no way of resolving this question. We're going to have to let it stand for now. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.